Welcome to Grow Your Influence, leadership conversations for business owners and managers. Whether you own a business and have a team, or leadership is part of your role, welcome, you're exactly where you need to be. Join co-hosts Juliette Robinson and Christy Lee Billett for their regular conversations on all things leadership. No corporate jargon, no textbook ideologies, just real life experience unpacked in a relaxed way to help you be your best boss and lead your team with confidence, clarity, and control. This is Grow Your Influence. Let's dive in.
Christy Lee, lovely to see you.
Great to see you again, Juliette. We've got a follow-up episode on our last episode today.
I am loving this. So in the last episode, we talked about how we bring, how we nurture people once we've recruited them, but before they join the team. Mm. Today, we're talking about that induction process and how we onboard people, which is a funny word, but it's probably not even a real word, but how we bring people in on day one. Mm-hmm. So they can hit the ground running and so they're set up to succeed.
Mm. I imagine you've seen all different shapes and sizes of induction, orientation, onboarding. It's got lots of names, doesn't it?
Yes, or lack thereof, really.
Yeah. Yes, that is also problematic.
Years ago, a friend of mine joined a very senior marketing role in a large organization, and they had poached her from a competitor. And she arrived on day one and they had done nothing to set things up. It took her a week to get a laptop connected to the system. And as she said, that was a week they were paying her and there was literally nothing she could do except walk around and talk to people because she had no connection to the system.
And pretty basic, really.
I know. When I hear stories like that, you just think, wow, you know, there's got to be a better way to do that.
Yes. Yeah.
So, yes, and I think there is. You know, when people come in on day one, I think there's some really fundamental things we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And probably like you, I have seen it done well, but I've also seen it done really badly.
Yes.
Or just not seen as important, I think.
Yeah, I think the worst version that I see a lot is, here's our policy manual, read that and sign off on it, and you're good to go.
Yes, yes.
And that just doesn't cut it as far as an induction onboarding process goes. And I think for me, it's important to sort of recognize that this isn't a one-day situation. There's phases of this process and it's more intense, obviously, day one and week one. But I see onboarding, I guess I probably most commonly refer to it as the point from when the person starts to when they're fully settled in. And that's a 3 to 6 month process. You know, I sort of mirror it through the probation period often, but it's more intense at the beginning, obviously. But it's not just day one, here's where the bathrooms are and here's where the kitchen is and here's where your desk is and off you go. Mm. Effective onboarding is about getting someone to feel settled in their role and part of the team as quickly as possible, I think. Is that how you view it?
Yeah, totally. And I think, you know, I come back to things like situational leadership, getting a sense of how much direction do they need?
Yeah.
And how much coaching, you know, and how experienced are they really? Because we know everybody can talk a good game in an interview.
Yeah.
But when they hit the ground, what does that actually look like?
Mm.
And so getting a sense of that, but also getting them, as you say, just engaged with what you're trying to do as a team or as an organization
yeah.
is really important. And not assuming they'll just pick it up because you've given them the manual on day one.
Yeah.
I often see more senior people, a bit like my friend, are brought in really badly because there's a sense of, well, you've had other jobs.
Yes.
So you'll know what to do. So go for your life.
Yeah. And I think often the person that's put in charge of onboarding, it might be the PA, the office manager, someone like that, they're a bit intimidated by more senior players. And so they feel like, oh, well, I can't tell them what to do in an onboarding, or I don't want to, you know, tell them silly things. So there's a bit of an intimidation piece that might be at play that means that they're not onboarding them as effectively as they might, you know, a receptionist or a junior person.
And ironically, what I see sometimes is senior people feel they can't ask questions that might be seen as stupid questions.
Yeah, yep.
So they don't learn what they need to learn, or it takes them a while because they're faffing around
trying to figure it out.
Trying to figure things out because they don't feel they can ask.
Yeah, And because they haven't been told who to go to for what, like this person's in charge of that, they'll have that answer for you. So I think, I guess in terms of what good induction and onboarding looks like, I think it's really multi-layered, and it's about who are the people, who are the key players, who's responsible for what does everyone do? The environment, like where do I find things? Because that's always a challenge. How do I book a meeting room? Those kind of things. And the role, obviously. How do I do the role? Where does it fit in the business? What are the key stakeholders and all of that kind of thing? So, and there's some other layers around it as well. There's values, like you said, there's coachability, there's all these other things. So there's very many layers involved, I think.
I think so too, and I think you're right. The values thing is a really interesting one. That how do we communicate the how we do things around here? And I always say when I'm working with teams, we can have, as you say, the processes and procedures manual and all that sort of thing. But the minute we go to do things and somebody says, oh, look, I know it says that, but we just do it this way. We're always going to do that, aren't we? We're not going to say, oh, I think I'll just follow the manual, thanks. We're going to do what people tell us. So giving people an opportunity to understand the culture at that level, what that means as quickly as possible is really important. I think there's no shortcutting the trust building that needs to happen. And I mean, we know that anytime somebody joins or leaves a team, it changes the dynamics in the team. And I don't think there's any way to shortcut that. But I think we can engage with it as quickly as possible and make sure we're actually doing that we're not just plonking a person into a team, but that we're getting the team together and saying, okay, so this is what we do and this is how we do it, and here's how we want to work together, and getting them into that conversation.
I think one of the really effective ways you can do that in that process as well is having people spend time, having a new person spend time with lots of different people on the team and in different teams, particularly, teams that they need to work with quite closely. So, in a smaller business, it's more like shadowing where go and spend a few hours with that person, go and spend some time in the factory and see how everything's made. But in a bigger business, it's about, okay, I'm going to get you to spend time with this department head so you can understand in a couple of hours what they do and how we interact. But really getting them sitting with and spending time with different people in the business to get I guess an understanding and appreciation of how all the cogs turn, I think is really important. Is that a strategy you've seen used?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's really effective. The other thing I've seen that has been good, and I don't see it enough, I think, is this idea of having conversations where, at the end of a week, for instance, the immediate manager of a new person sitting them down saying, okay, tell me what surprised you. What have you seen? What questions have you got? But I think that what surprised you is a really good question.
That's a great question.
Because these are fresh eyes, and taking on board what they might say gives you a sense of how clear they were about their role coming in and about the team or the organization, but also about things that you might not even be conscious of that might be going on. And they say, well, I was surprised to see this because, in the interviews, I've been told that is a really great way to kind of reality check what's happening in your team or your organization. So I
And
think
you're right, those fresh eyes are so important in terms of innovation in a team. What someone sees in those initial weeks and months with you can really be a game changer in terms of what's missing, where there's opportunities. But if you don't ask them the question, they're just going to fall into the habits that everyone else has got soon enough. So you've got this sort of limited window of time where those eyes are fresh and you can get new ideas.
And I think so often the question I see managers asking a new joiner is, how are you going? Everything okay? To
They're
which,
not great questions.
no, I mean, you're just sending a signal that you want them to say, yep, it's all fine, nothing to see here.
Nothing to see
I'm
here.
blending in, I'm fitting in, it'll be fine.
I actually think those regular checkpoints throughout that first several months are really, really important. End of day one, end of week one, every fortnight for a little bit, then every month for a little bit. Because again, you just want to create that, I guess, structure and framework for them to feel safe to say, this is, I'm not sure about this, or someone needs to help me get across that, or I'm having troubles connecting with this person. Can you help me out with that? So they've got somewhere to have that conversation if they're not necessarily going to bring it to your attention.
Absolutely. Even to be able to say, oh, I'm interested you do it that way, because in my old job, we did it this way. And I'm just wondering what that's about. Or, there are other ways to do it, which is really effective. So, yes, I think that's a really, it's also a great way for someone to feel, as long as you're not really defensive about their answers, for them to feel like they're starting to contribute as well. When you're saying, what are you seeing? What surprised you? They're able to say, here's my contribution, in a sense. And it's a bit like reflecting back to people when they're talking to you. It's that kind of, here's my understanding of what's going on. So you can have a conversation around it. And I think it's powerful. I think it's useful for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. I think those right, the asking the right questions, with our team all the time is so important in terms of the value of the information we can gather if we just ask those right questions. So I really love that what surprised you question. And of course, in inductions and onboarding, there is some structure we have to have. Yes, they have to sign off on the policies and there's some technical paperwork that needs to be submitted and we might need to get copies of things, but and we shouldn't forget about those, obviously, but it's not just that, I think is
No,
important.
I think it's also really important, and particularly when we're busy, or conversely, when everything's quiet and people are a bit flat, we forget to do social things with new people. Take them out for lunch, sit around a table, and you don't have to talk about work. Talk about other stuff.
Yeah,
And it's
actually, one of
that.
the teams I work with does this really effectively. They task two of their younger team members who know every cafe in the area, basically, to, in the first week, take this person to lunch and just show them. So not even about sitting down having lunch with them so much, show them where the best Japanese is, the best cafe is, like all of their favorite haunts, so that this person feels confident that they know where things are just geographically around them. So yeah, they're walking and chatting and no doubt getting lunch, but it's just giving them that insider knowledge as well.
I think that's so valuable, and it makes them feel safer.
Yes.
So, because you're not going to have lunch with them every day,
No.
when they head out the door on their own,
Yeah.
they're feeling a bit more local, a bit more
Yeah.
connected, than they would if they were out there thinking, oh my God, I don't even know if I go down this street,
Exactly.
where I'm heading.
Or will I make it back to the office on time if I go down to this place? All those little nuanced things. So, and showing them, oh, there's a park there, which, beautiful spot to have lunch, or the lunchroom is available. Where's the lunchroom? It's the little things.
It totally is. So I think there's plenty we can do. And I agree with you. I think we need a formal part to induction. There's stuff that needs to happen, that is formal and is a bit boring, and things need to be signed and things need to be read. But I think the informal part of it is the powerful part in
It's the
terms of
most important.
connecting new people with your team, with your culture, with your organization, and setting them up to succeed. But I think we can also benefit from it. I think this idea that it's a one-way thing, isn't true at all. I think there's so much we gain from it as a leader when we can do that effectively and as effectively as possible.
I agree. And I think someone really needs to own the onboarding orientation, whatever you call it. Someone has to be the champion of it. And you absolutely want the direct line manager being one of those people. If they might have other people supporting them on, on bits and pieces, but your direct manager is the one that you want to feel most comfortable with most quickly. So if they're not hands-on involved in this, there's going to be a disconnect from day one. So,
Totally.
when the line manager or the direct supervisor is the champion of the induction and onboarding, and they're just getting support from others along the way, I think that works most effectively.
I totally agree, because we know that people look to their line manager for role modeling around what's okay. They look to build trust with their line manager before anyone else. So, yeah, it's a very important role.
So making sure that the responsibility is delegated effectively to that person so they know it's theirs to do and they're not sort of abdicating responsibility, hoping that someone else is going to get it done for them. So,
Getting the
really,
team to do it, sort of.
I've seen that happen a lot. Oh, don't, the office manager or the ops manager or whoever will take care of that sort of thing. So, That's really important.
I think that's
So
a really good point.
yeah, so I think this whole induction and onboarding, look, it is such an important part of our new team members' journey with us. Studies have shown us that effective orientation and onboarding programs more than double the chance that someone's going to stay around. So it actually has an impact on retention. And if we do it well, we've got a really productive team member who's a great part of the team very quickly. Not, they're not faffing about trying to figure things out, like you said.
Yeah, I think, yes, as I say, it has value for them, and it does bring them in quickly so they can become productive. And that has value for us as well.
100%. Fantastic. Well, I've loved this discussion, Juliet. I think this little two-parter on before starting and then once someone starts is a great reminder of how important that period of time is.
Well, I hope it helps people just bring it to the front of their minds as well. If you're bringing new people in, and I mean, everybody is looking to a new year next year where things will start to pick up again. And if you're bringing new people in, hopefully you can take advantage of these sorts of ideas to do that really effectively.
100%. Fantastic. Thanks, Juliet. Great to talk to you.
Great to talk, Christy Lee. See you soon.
See you.
Thanks for joining us on this episode. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave us a rating, comment, and review wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to recommend us to a friend. We also love hearing suggestions for topics or guest speakers that you would love to hear from. The best way to reach us to give us those suggestions is over on our Facebook page. Simply head to Facebook and search Grow Your Influence. See you there.